We have been in this series. Today we conclude it, For My Neighbor. And we began this series talking about the importance of our neighbor. And then over the course of this series, we extended it a couple of weeks because we recognize that in our culture today, some of the racial violence that's taking place and the difficulty that's happening is something that we as a church wanted to address. And so last week, if any of you didn't get a chance to watch the message, I would encourage you to do it. I walked through what the Bible says specifically about racism and understanding it. And last week, I shared this verse with you, and I'm going to share it again today because we're going to have a conversation, and this verse is going to mean a lot to some of us in the room as we have this conversation. James, the brother of Jesus, says this. Understand this, dear brothers and sisters. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Now, I want to pause here. I want you to read this because what we're going to do today is we're going to play for you. Recently, I sat down with a couple of African-American pastors that are right here in Kokomo, Indiana, and had a conversation with them. And in the course of the conversation, wanted to be stretched and encouraged in ways that many of us are not stretched and encouraged. And so this passage of scripture that I read for you is really a foundational piece for all of us because I think that one of the components of what we've been trying to discuss here is to allow us an opportunity for a conversation and a dialogue. And so we began this a few weeks ago. I began this opportunity. I was called by one of these pastors. I'll show you a picture of these guys. This first guy over here, which is on your left, his name is Will Smith. And Will Smith is the lead pastor at Second Missionary Baptist Church here in Kokomo, Indiana. And Will Smith called me a few weeks ago and asked me if I would participate in a community-wide prayer gathering, in which I did a couple of weeks ago and had the privilege of being a part of a unifying prayer gathering of whites and blacks coming together for the sake of praying for our community and praying for God to intervene in our community. And so I've sat down with him, and then the fellow that you see that's facing the camera here, his name is Lonnie Anderson, and Lonnie Anderson is the pastor of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church that's located here in Kokomo, right off of Sycamore 931 there, and so been a friend of Lonnie's for a number of years. Will and I have had the chance to work together at the MLK celebration that takes place in January every year, so the last 3 years he and I have worked together, and Lonnie and I have been close friends over the last 7 years. He's been our house, and we've eaten dinners together, and our son was actually a part of the school that that his church leads called the F.D. Reese Academy, and these two men are leaders in our community when it comes to our black community, and so I sat down and had a conversation with them recently, and today what I want to do is we're going to spend these next few moments watching this interview, and as we watch this interview, I want to say this to everyone in the room and those of you watching online, is that there are things that are going to be said in this interview. There are things that you are going to hear in this interview that are going to challenge you. And again, if you have a Bible or a Bible app, open it up to James 1, 19 and 20. And the reason I say that is because I want you to read those words over and over again. And part of it is because uncomfortability, being uncomfortable, is part of the whole New Testament understanding of what happened. You have to understand, Jesus came and he made the religious people very uncomfortable, which ultimately led to his crucifixion. And this idea of racism wasn't something that just happened in the last 50 years in churches. It happened in the early church. And Peter, one of the founding people in understanding the New Testament church, struggled with racism to the point that God had to intervene one night and say to him, these are the things that are okay for people to understand. These are the things that are okay. People don't have to go and do these things to be called clean or unclean. And so I believe that if you read the book of Acts, you see that this is a conversation that began there and continues on in the church today. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm just going to turn it over to the screens, and we'll watch together as this interview unfolds. So let me pray. Jesus, I pray for us. I pray for me in my spirit that, Lord, I would be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. That, God, you would help me to understand the conversations that are happening, that you would help each of us to understand some of the dialogue that takes place, and for us to ask the question as Christians, how can we be part of the solution? And so, Lord, we watch this now, and we thank you for these men that were willing to sit down and have a conversation with us. Bless them and their churches. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's watch together. To a person that does an internet search on the phrase Black Lives Matter, generally, they're sent to the national page of Black Lives Matter, and on that page, there's a couple of things that they see, which is normal of any organization. Their belief statements, the things that they're currently fighting for, that they're for these days, and that kind of thing. And so for some, there's consternation, because when they go to the page and they see the beliefs aren't about necessarily to a person that's watching, that's reading it, specifically about Black lives. They're about others, transgendered lives and other lives and all those kind of things. And so just wanted to ask you guys to help us understand this, because we've had a little bit of conversation about this, and you've helped me to understand it a little better. Mm-hmm. And so, Pastor Will, how about I start with you and help us to understand this a little bit.
Thank you, Pastor Chris, for this opportunity. I think that one of the biggest things when I think of Black Lives Matter, first off, I think about the aspect that it was started not by the church. It was started by an organization that is not church-related. So that's very important for us to understand. So their beliefs are not upon scripture. But for the church, as a part of its role in social justice, it is one of the beliefs that, you know, all lives matter, but specifically that movement talks about the fact that if all lives matter, then Black lives need to matter. And when we look at Black Lives Matter, it's important for us to understand that there are aspects that they believe as a national organization that we as pastors do not agree with, that we wrestle with because of our theology and our belief system. And then when we look at that aspect of what they believe, it's important for us to realize that one or two issues should not stop us or hinder us from believing in the fact that Black lives matter. It's just like voting for an official. There are several things that we may differ on, but who is the best candidate? And the biggest piece when we look at Black Lives Matter, it's in the importance of realizing that intentionally Black lives are of importance.
But Black Lives Matter is more than just what's seen on the internet, on their website. Black Lives Matter, I agree that all lives matter, but then again, the reason why the Black Lives Matter movement came to be is because if Black Lives Matters, if all lives matters, then Black lives would matter. And right now we're seeing a systemic racism that has really polarized the African-American community. And so the Black Lives Matter was a movement, or is a movement, telling the world that people of African descent, we're not getting the same equal justice. We're not receiving justice. We're not getting our piece of the pie, if you will. And so that's one of the reasons why the Black Lives Matter existed. That's why it has begun to morph into other components. But basically, it was just saying people of African descent, we matter in this country. We're Americans too, and we want to enjoy the same rights, the same privileges, the same respect as anybody else.
You know, one of the things I appreciate about both of you,
is that you, both of you men, have been very gracious to me in questions that I have. At times, probably asking questions that to you may seem a little bit out of kilter, out of character, but it was ignorance on my part to not know how to address certain things. And so I felt the freedom to come to you and ask questions. What would you say to people at Crossroads who are sitting in the seats, who are saying, okay, so is it safe in this season for me to go to an African-American friend and ask them questions that I may have that may be charged or may not be charged in a way? I'm asking it not out of a sense of supremacy or pride, but out of a sense of literally wanting education to know about this issue.
If we're going to really accelerate the possibilities of dealing with racism, we're going to have to talk with one another. Mm-hmm. I think that there's some misconceptions on each side. I hate using that word, each side, mm-hmm. but I think there's some misconceptions on each side. I think that there are some level grounds that we can meet at. And one of the things for believers is I believe that the cross, mm-hmm. the foot of the cross, mm-hmm. is the most neutral place to mm-hmm. meet. Mm-hmm. The foot of the cross eliminates us from preconceived notions, prejudices. The only place for the different races to meet is at the foot of the cross. And that it's there we begin a dialogue. We begin to know one another, unball our fist, and begin to know one another and begin to find out that we are human beings, mm-hmm. And probably see that we have more in common than what we believe.
Yeah, I think first, just this kind of dialogue is just very important, and a willingness to just ask the questions. I think that is just important. And sometimes it's just realizing that you may not ask the question that you in the way that you feel that it needs to be asked, but just asking, letting persons know you are interested. I think that is key. Sometimes it's just not even agreeing or disagreeing, but just listening, hearing the hearts of individuals, and being able to also seek God's direction. I think that is most important as well, as you pray, as you seek the face of God, as you continue to grow in your relationship with God, just knowing that God begins to speak to our hearts through His Holy Spirit. And I think that, again, as believers in Jesus Christ, it's just important for us to embrace one another in love, and dialogue is the perfect way, and listening as well.
How do you see Jesus overcoming this issue of racism in the end? I mean, to you, how do you see this? You know, because to some, they see it as a tension that always has to be managed. To us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that there's an end to the script, mm-hmm. and He wins.
Well, I think that one of the key pieces is by us being made in the image of God. Mm. And by us being followers of Jesus Christ. I think about the disciples, Jesus's relationship with His disciples. Jesus did not change the hearts of His disciple at the beginning. As a matter of fact, at the end of His life, one got upset, real mad. So we got to realize that in our relationship with God, it is a struggle that we face continuously in our lives. But the biggest thing is that we come and go with Jesus, mm-hmm. that we allow ourselves to realize that we walk with Jesus as His disciples. And so I see Jesus using us as the individuals. We are the hands, the feet. We are the individuals that the Lord uses to make a difference. Because for us to just sit and wait and pray, prayer is very important. But we also, with prayer, there must be action. Faith without works is dead. So it's important for us to allow ourselves to be active in our faith and to be able to allow ourselves to be used by God, to be instruments of His peace, as I shared on Sunday during our Park and Pray. And prayer to me is very important in all of this, that even when I don't understand, that it's important for me to pray. When anyone does not understand what's going on in our prayer is the key. But then as a part of that prayer, allowing ourselves to be used by God to make a difference.
For the church, I think we've been bamboozled in some ways. I think we are getting our points of emphasis, our thinking, instead of from G-O-D, I think we're getting it from CNN, F-O-X, M-S-N-B-C, and not G-O-D. Mm-hmm. And I think if we stop and start seeing each other as Christ sees each other, as Christ has bonded us together, I believe it changes the whole scenario. So I believe what you're doing right now, I applaud you, Chris, because this is what's needed, mm-hmm. not only to come and talk, but let's also deal with the course of action. And so, I applaud what you're doing. I applaud what Crossroads is doing. But I think it's only at the foot of the cross, and it's through prayer, as Pastor said, that we come together and that we understand that we are all fallen humanity. And if it was not for the grace of God, thank God for Jesus who died and rose again for someone like me, someone like you, someone like us. And so I think it's important for us to remember that we have a lot of things in common, our humanity. We have a Savior, and He guides. The Bible guides us. Mm-hmm. The Bible is our guide. And for the believer, I'm more concerned probably about how the church is dealing with the events that are happening right now, more so than anybody else, because we're the ones who's supposed to be directed and governed by the Holy Spirit. God is supposed to be reigning in our hearts and in our minds. Mm-hmm. So that's really probably that has me more concerned. Right. I mean, what is the church thinking? What are those who are followers of Jesus Christ, what are we saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us about this?
You know, to personalize this some, probably the last question I want to ask is, how can Crossroads Community Church let Second Missionary Baptist Church, or I'm going to start with you, Pastor Lonnie, Mount Pisgah Church, know that we love you, and we want to, because we know it's not just talk, how do we show? What is something that we can do as a church to show you that?
Well, I think, again, what's happening right now in this very auditorium, I think it's a great start, I think, to start the dialogue, to address and deal with taboo topics that sometimes seem very controversial, deal with issues that make us uncomfortable. So I think one of the things that this great church can do along with Mount Pisgah, let's speak in a unified voice. Let's let the cross, let's let the word of God bind our hearts together so it's no more just us and them, you and me. It's my prayer from this day forward that we will be a collective, unified voice, that we are able to deal with some social ills of our church. Let's not ignore it. Let's be a little bit more compassionate, but let's not ignore some of the issues that are going on. Let's address them head on together. Mm-hmm. Because if things are going to change, it's going to take more than Mount Pisgah. It's going to take more than Second Baptist. It's going to take more than Crossroads. But collectively, when we start dealing with systemic racism, when we start dealing with unfair policing procedures, if you may, I think things are probably have a better chance of being reconciled, and things can change.
Well, and usually in those kind of conversations, I think the understanding for all of us to to know that there will be moments when we are uncomfortable, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, You know, that's one of the things I love about the New Testament is that it isn't a, it's not a testament of comfort. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that's important too, and it's definitely when we handle the, get to those situations that are uncomfortable. I think it's important that we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We are not each other's enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that there's a satanic and a demonic ploy to keep us apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think if the church could understand that we don't, our fight is not against flesh and blood.
Right. Well spoken. Yeah. So. Well spoken.
And if the church can be divided, we know the enemy has the victory.
That's right.
So the key is that we just need to live as the body of Christ. We just need to be the body of Christ and allow ourselves to not only worshiping together, but also working together, mm-hmm. allowing ourselves to realize the ills of our community. And I think specifically the most important piece is to look at just Kokomo. There's a lot going on in Kokomo before we even tackle the issues of our country. And one of the things that has just pressed upon my heart continuously is just allowing ourselves to be a voice just right here, doing what we're doing around this table, having these conversations, learning from one another, growing from one another, so that the world will see. And that's the goal, that the world would see the God we serve and even the Christ who died on the cross, but also was resurrected. So the renewal, rebirth, allowing us to be demonstrators of God's grace and mercy within Kokomo. And I think that when our community sees churches working together, it just makes a big, that's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We want God's will to be done here on earth.
That's
and
right.
So we just need to live as the body of Christ and to allow ourselves, how can we work together? How can we do this together? How can we do ministry together? How can mm-hmm. we allow ourselves to go to city council together? How can we allow ourselves to review the policies and to address those policies together? How can we make a difference and stand together? Because we realize the awesomeness that Christ brings us together. And because Christ brings us together, we ought to stand together continuously to let the world know that we are our Father's children.
Amen. You know, I've been asking the questions. You guys may have a question or two for me, or you may have a question or two for the folks at Crossroads. And while they're not here in this moment to answer back, I think that you might be able to give them some thoughts to think about as they exit and head into the world today.
Well, again, thank you again so much, Chris, for having me. I think there is a pink elephant in the room. He might even be red by now. And I think the pink elephant that has seemed to be causing a lot of division in the African-American pulpit with our evangelical brothers, and that is the loud silence. We're not hearing very much. We're hearing from our evangelical brothers as it pertains to abortion, gay rights, the redefining of the family, but in social issues, there seems to be a mysterious hush and mysterious silence. We know that you guys are very vocal because we heard it for 8 years with President Obama, but with President Trump and some of the insensitive statements that have been made against people of color, against African Americans, there is an eerie silence that brings a form of distrust. I think maybe the question is, not only is God concerned about life before it gets here, but he's also concerned about the quality of life after it gets here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the question would be, don't you see, does the evangelical community see the social ills that are going on? Just not the moral and whatever, but do you see the social ills, and there's a silence that hurts There's a silence that it grieves me. And it really makes you very leery to coming to the table to people who don't even recognize that there's some issues going on. And so I just want to know, just where has the evangelical community been? And are you aware of the pain that's going on with African Americans?
I know that even from our perspective at Crossroads, we've spent more time talking about the moral wrongs of things like abortion and sin, talking about addressing different types of sin, mm-hmm. but social injustice, racial injustice, which is sin. It is. It's call it what it is. It's sin. Has not been one of the things that we've addressed, and I think Lonnie, you're on, you're spot on in this case. You know, the thing that we saw with George Floyd, I was talking with a friend of mine recently, who watched the 8 minutes and 47 seconds of the video, is looking at a video and watching face to face, seeing an injustice that for you men have seen a number of injustices. This isn't one. That for many white folks, this is the only injustice that they've seen. And for a number of white individuals, maybe not even have seen that injustice. Mm-hmm. They've not even maybe watched mm-hmm. the video. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think that's a question that we as a church have to continually wrestle with.
That is a good question. I always think about us asking your own personal question. God, what are you calling me to do? Mm. What are you calling me to do? It is not enough for us to know the scriptures, but living the scriptures.
Absolutely.
Allowing ourselves, even as I look at Jesus Christ and his life, it was not a rosy one. Grew up in the ghetto.
Yep.
And so as we look, paint those pictures of realizing who Jesus is and realizing even what Jesus came to do to liberate. His first message in the synagogue was one of liberation, one of freeing and making a difference in the lives of individuals. And so the question I have is that how do we take this Jesus and allow that Jesus to be the Jesus that we serve, not just the Jesus of fighting against sin, but realizing even the ills of the social sins of our society, and realizing that if we have unfair treatment in housing, unfair treatment dealing with who gets what for the crime, what time individuals get for certain types of crime, allowing ourselves to realize that sin is sin. Mm-hmm. And the importance of realizing that we need to confront our social sins. And I'll often say that we need to spend time in reconciliation and repentance and realizing that, God, what have I been a part of? Because I also want to encourage the church that it's not a white thing or a black thing.
Right.
It's a body of Christ thing, mm-hmm. that all of us have fallen short. All of us, God has called us to do. We've seen things and we fail. And so it's that repenting and also allowing ourselves, Lord, what are you calling me to do?
Can I pray for both of you men?
Yes.
And pray for this? God, thank you that I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Will and for Pastor Lonnie. I thank you for the friendship that we have forged in these last few years. God, I thank you for the conversations that we've had. Some have been challenging to each other, and other times, God, just the laughter and joy that brothers can share together in Christ. And so thank you for that. God, we pray, the three of us come together and pray for reconciliation,
yes.
within our home here in Kokomo, Indiana. We pray, God, that we would be part of this solution.
Yes.
God, that you would speak to us in this moment, that you would remind us that every person in our community is made in the image of you, God.
Yes, Lord.
that we would never forget that. That God, regardless of creed, regardless of race, regardless of identity, regardless of background, that every single person that we come in contact this week is made in your image.
Yes.
So thank you, Jesus, that you've given us that opportunity. I thank you for giving us the example of how to lead that in our lives. We pray for blessings upon Second Missionary Baptist. I pray for blessings on Mount Pisgah. Pray, God, that you would bless their people, and I thank you, God, that you've allowed their pastors to come and speak. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
I want to thank you for being a part of the conversation today. And I, again, recognize that for some of you, this kind of a conversation stretches you, challenges you, and that's a good thing. And last week, if you remember, we talked about three things in the message that I really want to encourage each of you in this process, as it has been what God has been laying on me in this season. Number one is the understanding of individual repentance for all of us. The thing for us, for me personally, and part of this is me being a dad, part of this is me being a guy, and some of this is my own personality, is I want to get to the solution side. And part of the problem for most of us is that we want to get straight to the solution side without pausing to take a look deep into ourselves and to repent from the things that we need to repent from. And so we talked about that last week. And the second thing that we talked about was the reaching out. And it isn't just enough to say, I have a black friend. But the question is, when was the last time you shared a meal about with your friend? And had a conversation and sat down and said, hey, I want to know this. I need to learn this. I want to be a part of this. And then the third thing that we talked about was prayer. And you heard Pastor Will talk about it. And we began this process 2 weeks ago in praying for our community. And I'm part of a group of gathering of pastors that are praying through and talking through how we as a community here in Kokomo can lead in a lot of ways, and in understanding this and being a part of recognizing how we can encourage one another and help one another. Why? Because we get the privilege and the opportunity of knowing that all people matter to God, and therefore they matter to us. And so that's one of the privileges of doing that. So thank you today for being a part of this conversation. If you're near a dad, without turning to them and breathing on them, pat them on the back and tell them, say, thanks for being here. That's part of the social distancing thing that we do. But we're glad that you chose to be with us. Thanks for joining us online today. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to give us some closing instructions. So let's pray. Jesus, this conversation, while it ends here in some ways, because next week we begin a new series and those types of things, I pray, God, that even some of the things that challenged us in this moment, God, the things that were said that we may adamantly disagree with, that, Lord, you would help us as Christians to know that our battle, as you said it, Paul, in Ephesians 6, is not against flesh and blood. That, God, part of the problem for the church in this for generations is that, Lord, we have made the battle about people and not about the evil one who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to grow our hearts, to continue to grow us in this case. I pray, God, that for some in this room, we would take the step of having a conversation that we normally wouldn't have as a part of growing in this area. And so we pray for this, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.